Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the new creature in Christ Jesus. Chapter 6. The new creature put in evidence by the contrast with the most emblematic figures of the natural human being. Topic: F. Abraham was circumcised because of the mercy of God also toward the circumcised. Many people, as well as the scriptures, often associate the act of circumcision with the law of Moses and all its commandments, as was also mentioned in the previous topics. Nevertheless, this act was not initially associated with the commandments recorded by Moses. The first person to whom circumcision was associated in the scriptures was Abraham, whose circumcision occurred more than 400 years before the introduction of the law of Moses. Something important to emphasize once again about Abraham's history is that the circumcision in his case was only a symbol, a representative mark of what a person had already adhered to in the heart, or an outward sign of what a person had come to believe and that one also wanted to follow. It has also already been mentioned previously that, over the years, circumcision began to migrate from a mere symbol to a mark of distinction of people already from the mark itself. Over the years, circumcision, by itself, had already become a mark that characterized the people who belonged to a group, even though they did not actually practice a series of principles of the line of belief they claimed to have accepted. In this latter sense, circumcision also came to be regarded as a special status of life, leading many circumcised to pride and contempt for those who did not receive this circumcision, becoming uncircumcised to be seen by many as people of lesser importance. However, in the beginning, when the Lord instructed Abraham to practice circumcision, did he ask for people to rise up in pride towards their fellow men who were not circumcised? And considering that circumcision would come to be distorted from a mere outward symbol of what a person started to believe in the heart to the condition of a mark of identity by the mark in itself, and that it also would generate arrogance and pride, why, then, did God ask Abraham that he should practice circumcision? The answer to the above questions is found in the following text. Romans 3:28-4, 25. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised, or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. In the case of Abraham, circumcision was attributed to him only as a seal or a symbol of what he had previously believed in his heart, for Abraham, without any mark of circumcision, believed in the unique living God and Creator of the heavens and the earth when the Lord presented himself to him and spoke to him in a living and real way. In the text of Romans presented above, it is possible to see with clarity that Abraham was justified by faith for salvation being still uncircumcised, before circumcision, that is, circumcision had nothing to do with his justification and salvation. Merely external acts, in no way, have the power that could make an unsaved person become a justified and saved person before God. Eternal salvation is given as an offer or a gift from God and can be received only through faith in the Lord. And the gift of God's salvation has a name, it is called the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why a person reaches his or her justification by faith in Christ Jesus. It is very significant to note what has been outlined in the text of Romans above because, through it, the Lord teaches us that Abraham's act of circumcision did not define his justification by faith, for his justification occurred before the act of circumcision. As already mentioned, the circumcision performed by Abraham was for another reason or for another very specific purpose also clarified in the same text. Abraham was justified and saved by having listened to the voice of God and opened his heart in trust to the Lord and the instruction of God for his life, and that's it. That is what the text of Romans teaches us. Abraham's circumcision has nothing to do with his very salvation. Abraham was already justified before God when he believed in the Lord, and the remaining uncircumcised or become circumcised was not explicitly related to Abraham's own life or salvation. God did not ask Abraham to be circumcised so that Abraham could become justified or saved, but the Lord asked him to become circumcised because of what was to happen in his future generations. Does the commentary in the last paragraph mean, then, that future generations could come to be saved by circumcision? No, under no circumstances. On the contrary, circumcision could even complicate, for some, the understanding of justification and salvation by God's grace, through faith in the Lord, if they, in a wrong way, started to rely on circumcision to see themselves as justified. Earlier, we have also seen that from the natural perspective, people essentially are divided into two groups, namely the group associated with the term Jew and the group associated with the term Greek, that is, those of circumcision and those of uncircumcision. Moreover, We have likewise seen that God's solution for the salvation of both groups is the same and applies both to the people of the model called Jew and to the people of the Greek model, which is the salvation provided by the heavenly grace and which can be received through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are taught by the gospel of the Lord. Romans 10, 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. The critical question related to circumcision, however, is that even after Christ's redemptive work has already been performed on the cross of Calvary, some people both from the group of the so-called Jew and the Greek group, based on their natural or external aspects, still may continue to see themselves with distinction in relation to God. Despite all that God teaches us and offers through the gospel, people may continue to try to sustain the distinction between the two groups in reference. Thus, as people, from their natural perspective, try to divide themselves into two distinct groups, God, by his wonderful mercy, previously or in advance, showed in Abraham that the salvation of the kingdom of God is for all people, that is, for all the people of the two groups in reference, without distinction. Abraham was saved uncircumcised, and, in this condition, he was justified by the heavenly grace, through faith in God, so that all uncircumcised ones may know that the same justification and salvation is also available to them in God. Nevertheless, the Lord, knowing of all things yet to come, knew that in the future, or throughout history, people would end up trying to divide themselves into two natural groups. And, therefore, to show that no one is despised by the offer of salvation, the Lord instructed Abraham that he should be circumcised to show everyone that even those who are circumcised need the same salvation by faith in the grace that God offers. The circumcision instructed by God to Abraham was not taught to him aiming at the creation of a select group that would reach salvation by differentiated human behaviors or external marks. Circumcision was asked by the Lord to Abraham so that the circumcised in the future also knew that their salvation only occurs because of the same faith of Abraham in God, faith by which Abraham believed in the promise of the coming of Christ to the world and through which he was justified before God. Let us see below again some verses of the text already quoted previously. Romans 4, 9-17. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised, or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Therefore, how can an individual obtain justification for the heavenly life before the Lord and enter into the salvation offered by God to human beings? And the answer is believing in the righteousness of God and having faith in the salvation offered in Christ. Furthermore, who can receive the salvation offered by God? Both the uncircumcised and the one who has been circumcised can receive the salvation offered by God, as long as they believe in the Lord and receive salvation by heavenly grace and through faith in Christ. The uncircumcised who does not believe in Christ does not reach the justification of his or her sins and eternal salvation, but the circumcised who does not believe in Christ also, equally to the uncircumcised, does not obtain the favor of God offered to him or her by the heavenly grace. On the other hand, the uncircumcised who believes in Christ receives salvation, just as the circumcised who believes in Christ also receives it. All who believe in justification by grace, through faith, are those who are saved, whether they were previously circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Greek, for this no longer matters in the face of the eternal offer of life that the Lord extends to all human beings. All those who believe in Christ are those considered by God as the true descendants of Abraham, who was saved even Gentile and uncircumcised, but who also was sealed with the circumcision so that the circumcised of all generations also knew that salvation in Christ is equally necessary to them, just as it is also available to them by grace, through faith in the Lord, not by circumcision. The same gospel of Christ, which is for the salvation of the people of one of the two groups of people in reference, is also for the salvation of the people of the other group. The gospel pre-announced to Abraham, from the beginning of its proclamation, had already been presented as the offer that would be granted for the blessing, justification, and salvation of all peoples, and not only for one group of people to the detriment of others or for other peoples to the detriment of one group of people. The gospel of righteousness, grace, salvation, peace, promise, and power of God, already from the beginning of its announcement, has been directed or addressed to all human beings, without exception. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So, the divisions and barriers between Jew and Greek, circumcised and uncircumcised, right from the pre-announcement of the gospel were foreseen as unacceptable in the newness of life in Christ. And also for this, they could not receive any recognition of value or virtue after Christ was revealed as the Lord and Savior to all human beings, remembering once more that. Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:7. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. As we have already mentioned, in the eyes of God, after the revelation of Christ to the world, there is not this human and fleshly division of two groups as people do among themselves. In the eyes of God, all are equally people in need of the mercy and the heavenly love that are extended to all in the Son of His love. However, in the eyes of many people, there is still resistance to the Lord's grace, and there is yet the commitment to maintain the division of these two groups. It is crucial to understand that God did not make provision for two solutions of salvation for eternal life, that is, one for the uncircumcised and one for the circumcised. God has only one, and the same, solution of salvation for the people of both groups. However, It is precisely the equation or equality of all under the same necessity and under the same salvation that is rejected by many of those who try to sustain the differentiation of the two groups, because they want to insist on the distinction of each other. God only offered and offers a single way of salvation. However, in order for the message of this one salvation to become evident to both the circumcised and the uncircumcised, the Jew and also the Gentile, is that the Lord instructed Abraham also to be circumcised even after he was already justified by faith being still uncircumcised. Those who are of the circumcision are often even more resilient and hardened to allow themselves to be reached by God than those who are of uncircumcision. Those who are of the circumcision may come to think that the sign of circumcision and their religious practices are participants in the solution of their salvation. Throughout human history, those who are related to the lifestyle denominated in the scriptures as circumcision have continually been and continue to be at risk of developing a particular pride because of their signs they carry, and the acts they practice, as if the salvation of the soul is dependent on this kind of marks or practices. God knew beforehand that in every generation there would be people who would refocus the thought that through outward acts and outward marks they might come to salvation. God, in advance, knew that many people would find themselves more special than others because of their external acts and traits or their heredity. People who would come to think and propagate the thought that God favors or disadvantages individuals for what they are in the natural world, denying that God loves all without partiality. People who would try to sustain a mentality that individuals are classifiable between the especially privileged and the unprivileged, also creating their distinctions, classes, or castes by human concepts, and not according to the heavenly kingdom in which there is no partiality toward people. Abraham was instructed to carry out the circumcision precisely because of the mercy of God also to the people who distinguish themselves from the others for thinking that by their external acts and marks they are more deserving of the favor of God than the others, and also because of the mercy of the Lord to those who stand apart and on a pedestal of distinction because they think they are worthy of heavenly salvation primarily because of the external acts they practice. Many of those who are in favor of any sort of circumcision are also the people who most insist on the thought that salvation can be achieved by human works or natural symbols. For this reason, they are also easily led to religious pride and to the idea that they are more spiritual and worthier of salvation and blessings than others, thus resisting the provision of justification by the heavenly grace offered by God to them, but also offered equally to all human beings. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Romans 10:1-4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only but also for the whole world. Those who are of the circumcision, speaking conceptually of all those who wish to please God by their religions, even though they do not have the physical mark of circumcision, may even be zealous of God's things, but with human zeal, in the strength of the fleshly arm, and deprived of the understanding from the Father of lights. Before becoming an apostle of Christ, Saul, also called Paul, was an intense defender of the thought of circumcision. He prided himself on the fact that he had been circumcised on his eighth day of life as the law demanded, was zealous of the law of Moses, and was zealous of his religion for being conceptually a Jew since his birth. Saul was confident in what he had inherited through his culture and tradition, as well as in his zealous conduct regarding what he had learned from his childhood. However, Saul's pride lasted until he met the Lord Jesus Christ personally, making all this past worthless before the Christ, the Messiah, the only eternal High Priest, the King of righteousness and peace. In the face of Christ, Saul understood that his condition of being a follower of the circumcision did not make him any better than any other sinner from anywhere in the world, and he also understood that he needed the grace of God as anyone else needed it, coming to declare the following words. 1 Timothy 1:15-16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Circumcision was instructed by God to Abraham because the mercy for those who rely on their works and in their associations with the so-called circumcision or Jew models, or similar to them, so that they know that the offer of redemption, salvation, and life in Christ is also for them. Recalling here also once again that the term Jew in the New Testament does not refer primarily to a connotation of nationality, but rather to the conditions of beliefs that rely on human works or of the flesh to try to obtain eternal salvation and the favor of the Lord. Thus, any person, of any nation, in any generation, might be found in this similar condition of the model called Jew or circumcision, and this occurs when one mistakenly thinks that he or she has guaranteed justification and salvation before God because of one's religious practices or one's natural background or nationality. Abraham's circumcision was not necessary for the salvation of Abraham, but it was a sign or a pre-announcement that the salvation that would be offered to all through Abraham's descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come not only to those called by the religious as laymen or unbelievers but also for the religious themselves. Abraham's justification by grace, through faith in God, when he was uncircumcised, was a beforehand announcement that salvation in Christ Jesus would come to the uncircumcised and sinful. However, circumcision was performed as a previous announcement that justification by faith is also necessary for the circumcised or religious who think that they already have the justification in their religious acts, which, however, before God, are nothing but filthy rags. The justification of Abraham through faith in the Lord was a pre-announcement that salvation in Christ Jesus would be offered to all who would need it, but Abraham was instructed later by the Lord to practice circumcision to make clear that those who rely on their marks, symbols, images, human associations, or religious acts are equally in need of the same salvation through faith in the Lord. The salvation offered by God to all human beings, and granted exclusively by His grace and through faith in Christ Jesus, is equally necessary for the one who not even seeks it in the Lord, as well as for the one who seeks to attain it by efforts, signs, or human works, which, in turn, have no value or virtue of justification before the Lord. Abraham was saved uncircumcised. However, afterward, he was circumcised so that his descendants who would become circumcised knew that the salvation of the soul is by the grace of God through faith in the Lord, and not by circumcision, by the law of Moses, or by merely being the natural offspring of Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ himself warned the natural descendants of Abraham not to rely on their ancestry, but to repent and convert to a life according to faith or trust in God. Luke 3:8a. Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Like those of the circumcision, there are people in every generation who think that eternal salvation is transferred from generation to generation, whether by the mark of circumcision or, for instance, by the external baptism of newborns. However, the central points of the concepts of these two practices are the same and equally mistaken, for it is by individual faith in God and in His grace that a person reaches justification from sins and the salvation of the soul, not by mere external rituals or signs. Abraham was also circumcised so that those who were baptized as children of Christians know that they also need salvation by individual faith in Christ and by the new birth through faith in God, for there is no salvation in the natural baptism itself. Just as any uncircumcised is saved only by grace through faith in Christ, so it is equally for any person who has Christian parents as his or her background or ancestry. Abraham was circumcised so that those who think they are worthy of salvation know that they are equally unworthy like any other human being because, for all, salvation is through the same grace and faith in Christ, both to the Jew and to the Greek or Gentile, both to the descendants of a Christian as for the descendants of non-Christian parents. In the sonship or lineage according to the new creation, to the heavenly kingdom, or to the being born again of the Spirit of God, and not only of the flesh, there are no grandchildren, great-grandchildren and wide genealogies, for all those who believe in God and receive in the heart Christ as the Lord are equally children of God, brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and brothers of others who have already become children of the Heavenly Father through the heavenly grace and faith in Christ. Because of the feeling of being unworthy of the salvation of God, many who are considered uncircumcised present themselves with humility more easily before God and even reach their salvation in the Lord before several who were instructed in parts of the Word of God, for some of the later, sometimes, rely on what they have received culturally or traditionally and do not rely on the practice of personal and living faith in the Lord. In many situations, those who are considered unbelievers reach the relationship with God even more easily than those who regard themselves religious, not because the former are better or worse than the religious, but because many readily accept salvation by grace and by the mercy of God when the offer is made to them. Isaiah 65, 1. I was sought by those who did not ask for me, I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. Matthew 21, 28-32. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go, work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not," but afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." Those who are associated with propositions of life that have characteristics of the concepts of circumcision may become blinded by their presumptions of whom they are descended and of the religious works of which they are part, to the point of not seeing how they are equally unworthy and how much they need the same salvation that the uncircumcised or not religious people need. And this is a kind of behavior that has already been practiced for many centuries, as also exemplified in the text below narrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 18, 9-14. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me a sinner. I tell you, this man, the tax collector who saw himself as a sinner, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the religious, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. No symbol or merely external acts can save a person or make him or her worthy of being saved. No one can become worthy of salvation through circumcision, works of the law of Moses, natural lineage, or aspects like these, or even titled with other modernized names. The children of Christians are no less in need of salvation by heavenly grace and by faith in the Lord than the children of parents who were not Christians. Some may presume that the children of Christians should have more access to the gospel of God and therefore should understand this need for salvation by faith before others. Unfortunately, however, in several cases, many people think that merely attending meetings they call Christian is enough to keep them in line with salvation. If this last aspect is a person's thinking, one is subject to misconceptions similar to those of the circumcision, thinking that one already has heaven guaranteed for being the child of Christians and fulfilling some of the rituals called Christian. The manners of what may be considered circumcision have changed over the centuries, from the literal circumcision of the foreskin to a series of other forms of association or membership to specific groups, but its concept is basically the same, and thus it becomes repeated again and again in the most diverse people from generation to generation. Nevertheless, as much as the concept of circumcision gains new forms or versions, it does not, even in the most varied diversity of manners, contain and will never contain a right path for a person's justification from sins and for the eternal salvation of the soul. For example, if the act of a person becoming a member of a religious group or a particular denomination is associated with the idea that therein is one's salvation, confirmation of one's salvation, or maintenance of it, this practice is equivalent to circumcision and, therefore, it is of no value to the eternal salvation of a person and presents no virtue to the life of a new creature in Christ. When people begin to believe that they are saved by adherence to particular groups, including those who somehow call themselves as church, they may easily and mistakenly come to believe that membership in a group or institution is an act by which they can be saved. When an association with a group, denomination, or institution, or maintenance of it, comes to be regarded as an action also associated with salvation or its maintenance, people put before themselves one more highly significant obstacle to understanding that salvation in the Lord is given only by grace of God and through the new birth received because the personal faith in Christ Jesus. Adherence to human groups, with a connotation attached to salvation, is essentially an act of circumcision, but without any validity to the true salvation offered by God and to the condition of the new creature. When a person fears the loss of salvation because one is no longer listed in a group of members of a human group, one begins to value circumcision more than salvation by direct faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and more than the new birth granted by the Lord, putting at high risk the salvation of his or her soul. Therefore, the name of the one who is a Christian indeed, of that individual who is truly born of God, does not need and should not be rolled up in the list of human groups in the expectation that his or her salvation, through this, will be reaffirmed or more guaranteed. A Christian does not need an act that resembles in some or another way to circumcision, for the name of a Christian, born again by the Spirit of the Lord, is written directly in heaven before the Heavenly Father and before the Eternal Lord. We recall here yet, that the theme mentioned in this part of this topic is addressed more widely also in the subjects on the gospel of the righteousness of God, the fellowship of Christians in the world, and the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ, particularly, in the latter, in the chapter on the glory of Christ as King and unique head of his body or his church, of which we recall below two texts, namely Luke 10, 19-20. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hebrews 12:22-24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Nowadays, the so-called human circumcision encompasses a multitude of propositions of acts that seek to impose signs, symbols, works, or actions to people under the pretext that if people do not join them, or the groups that proclaim them, they could be in a condition which keeps them short of the full guarantee of eternal salvation. These propositions, however, are the expression of fleshly works and are opposed to salvation by the grace of the Lord and through faith in Christ Jesus. Human circumcision is a concept that insists on resisting the grace of God and can be presented through the most varied forms. Under the idea of circumcision, many people insist on proposing the most diverse references or external acts to try to corrupt the simplicity of eternal salvation that is in Christ Jesus, thus acting contrary to the offer of the gospel of God and thereby working to keep people from the Lord's eternal path so that they do not walk in the freedom that the Lord offers them. Nevertheless, although many resist the gospel of the righteousness of God through some form of proposition similar to circumcision, God, in His mercy, instructed Abraham to receive the sign of circumcision as a pre-announcement that the salvation that would come to be manifested in Christ Jesus would also be offered, by heavenly grace, equally to those who so vigorously resist the way of life that God proposes to them. Abraham received the sign of the circumcision so that future generations would know that besides offering salvation to the uncircumcised, God would likewise also offer it by His mercy to all those who have somehow associated themselves with circumcision, whatever types or variations of their circumcisions. Through Abraham, God foretold that He would not despise those who have already tried to attain salvation by means other than the salvation that He would provide in His beloved Son Jesus Christ, thus offering the same salvation to all by faith in Christ and His work on the cross of Calvary. The salvation of God is offered by grace to all who have never heard of Christ or who have never sought the unique and eternal God, but the salvation presented by the Lord to the world is likewise offered by grace to all those who from childhood or for some time attended religious groups. Abraham received the circumcision as a sign to announce that the circumcised also can come to repent of their religiousness and be saved by faith in the same way as the uncircumcised. All people of both groups in reference need the heavenly salvation, both need the new birth, both need to be born of the Spirit of God, but for the circumcised and children of the circumcised, it may often be more difficult to visualize and understand that they need the same mercy which the uncircumcised also need. For this reason, a highlight for them has already been foretold since Abraham, who was an example of the justification by grace and faith in God, and not of the justification by works, the law, circumcision, or other natural characteristics or practices of people. Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Galatians 6, 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. John 3:3-7. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. For God, both the uncircumcised and the circumcised are equally and incalculably valuable. God loves both and wants everyone to receive His mercy and wants everyone to receive the abundant life in His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, rich to all. For this reason, the Lord, through Abraham, preached salvation to all peoples, without exception, and to all the families of the earth, also without exception. Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Romans 11:30-36. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world, including uncircumcised and circumcised, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Justification, salvation, and the new birth for a person to be constituted as a new creature can only be achieved by grace, only through faith in Christ Jesus. The way to these aspects is one or the same for all people in all nations, including those who descend from parents who during their lifetime have faithfully served God. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, considering that justification and heavenly salvation are not granted to an individual because one was circumcised or because one was uncircumcised before coming to Christ, these same conditions also have no value or virtue before God regarding the new creature in Christ. Those who have received the justification of the Lord and become new creatures through the eternal grace of the Heavenly Father do not have their support or endorsement in earthly and passing things, but, yes, in the life of faith in Christ Jesus and the love of the Lord poured out in their hearts. Galatians 3:6-9, verse 11, and verses 22-29. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There, that is, in Christ, is neither Jew nor Greek, There is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise.